time for our NFL Insider. Morning, Jason. I see you're hard at work following on Twitter, already working on the Jacksonville coaching situation. You believe it's pretty much a done deal?
Yeah, I do. I don't know how it would fall apart as far down this road as they are, but with Urban Meyer and his health issues in the past, and you know, it ain't over till it's over. But for him to be at the stage he's in with ownership, it would be hard to see it falling apart, other than him just, you know, literally not putting pen to paper and saying, "Ah, I can't do it."
Yeah.
It'll be interesting, that's for sure.
I was going to say, man, there's enough going on there between the draft and GM and coach. What an off season this is going to be for them.
Yeah, I just will be fascinated to see how his sort of style works in the NFL, because a lot of guys who are used to having sort of the full authoritarian, I control everything about your life, that doesn't fly so well in the pros when they're making more money than you. I'll be fascinated to see, and especially that team where, I mean, they've had, you know, it's been bad there for years. I mean, guys fighting each other and guys not being held accountable and everybody disliking management, and they blamed it all on Tom Coughlin. I mean, Urban Meyer's got a lot of Tom Coughlin in his game. Like, if guys didn't want to be there before, you think they're going to be dying to play for Urban Meyer? I'll be fascinated to see how this plays out. I mean, I'm old enough to remember Jalen Ramsey forcing his way out of there. I'm old enough to remember guys who could have still played just retiring rather than go back. And hearing from agents, you know, last year who were like, I had to beg my player to go in there, clean out his locker and do his exit interview. Like, he literally wanted to drive home in his uniform after the last game and never go back to that facility. Like, that's the work environment that's been around there. I mean, trading guys for pennies on the dollar. Yannick Ngakoue left $6 million in legal tender on the table just to get out of there and go to Minnesota. Like, that just happened 3 months ago. And Urban Meyer is the guy who's going to clean it up? I mean, maybe he is. But I will be fascinated to watch the staff he puts together, the approach he takes, how much tactically wise things work, and how much sort of big picture personality, leader of men. These aren't 19-year-old kids who, you know, you hold their entire fate in your hand. And then there's the matter of best practices and following rules and, you know, what he left in his wake in Florida and, yeah, you know, why he, you know. Seems like the NCAA is always right around the corner when it's time for Urban Meyer to move on.
Let's get to the games. The LA Rams, Aaron Donald, Cooper Kupp, and Jared Goff all have some big question marks. What do you know about the health of the Rams heading into this game on Saturday?
I mean, I expect the quarterback and Donald to go, and maybe Kupp also, but I don't think you're going to see full strength. You know, I think it's not just about who's up and who's not. It's about how well you can play. It's about how many reps you can play. It's about sort of how you naturally wither through a game. I mean, especially Aaron Donald. You're talking about ribs, that area, trunk, you know, anything. You can't vacuum your floor. You can't brush your teeth without that being an issue. And, he's superhuman, and he'll get shot up and, you know, do what you can do. But that then you start playing football and grinding up on 300-pound guys for 3 hours. That's going to – I have a hard time thinking you're going to see Aaron Donald, you know, perennial defensive MVP. I just have a hard time seeing that. I don't think they're going to want Goff to do more than throw it 15 times anyway. If this is a ball game, it's because Akers and that offensive line are doing their thing, and they're moving the ball up and down the field on the ground, and they're keeping Aaron Rodgers on the sidelines and playing a ball control game. I mean, Sean McVay knows that Mike Pettin defense. He knows where it suffers, and he knows the kind of game flow that starts to frustrate their pass rushers and get them out of what they want to do, which is just play the running back on the way to the quarterback. So Yeah, the one that I would be most concerned about is just Aaron Donald, because they're really going to need him to wreak some havoc, although the state of the Green Bay offensive line is not what it was 3 weeks ago. You know, and Bakhtiari being out for the year, and then the situation with Jared Veldier, I mean, their left tackle options are pretty thin.
To the Bills and Ravens, the Ravens, at least Lamar, kind of flexed his muscle last week and showed a little bit of what he's about. On the other side, I think people maybe expected Buffalo to have a bit of an easier time. It came right down to it. Are we a little bit shaken? Are we forgetting how good the Bills have been in the last 7 weeks? Or what's your take on this one? This one feels very close.
No, I mean, that game played out pretty much exactly like I thought it would. Up there in Buffalo, the Bills are not a good defense. They're just not. Fits and starts here or there, but if you set out to road grade them, you're probably going to road grade them, and that's what the Colts did. The Colts racked up 472 yards. They held the ball over 34 minutes. They pretty much dictated. They had some questionable decisions, and they missed a field goal that they normally make, and at least in overtime. So I think Baltimore does what the Colts did to them even better. They do it in different ways with multiple, a three-headed rushing attack monster that involves the quarterback. I just look at the state of the Bills' front seven, and I don't know how you're not worried. You know, Starlo Talele's not there anymore. You know, Jordan Phillips isn't there anymore. They kind of went away from the run. Well, and locally after that, whatever. But they don't have the kind of run stuffers. They don't have the nose tackle that you usually need to withstand what Baltimore's going to throw at you when they involve the fullback, which they're going to do pretty much all the time, and he only weighs like 310 pounds. And they throw the jumbo, tackle-eligible extra offensive lineman at you. And then they also use Gus Edwards as a lead back, as a fullback type sometimes, when the fullback is really more of a blocking tight end. They throw a lot of beef at you in a lot of different ways. And I don't know, when the Ravens run power and they're running it at the edge and attacking a guy like Jerry Hughes, and he's got Matt Milano behind him, I don't know that that's a good thing for the Buffalo Bills.
He's Jason Lockenfora, our NFL insider here on Sportsnet. Ryan?
Jay, we got the meme on the internet of the History Channel featuring the NFC South yeah. matchup between Breeze and Brady. It is yeah. remarkable
the
what
George
they've done.
George Blandable, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know that they'll be the major themes or not. They are the quarterbacks, but it's never been easy for teams to win that third matchup when they've swept the season series for no. whatever reason. How do you read this?
Yeah, on this one, I'm kind of trying not to overthink it. Like, I have seen 40-year-old Drew Brees in January, and it hasn't generally been pretty. I have seen 40-year-old Tom Brady lift the Lombardi Trophy. I just think one guy is sort of more equipped for this than the other. I've never seen Tom Brady take a month and say, I'll get back to you in 30 days about whether I want to keep playing football. That's what Drew Brees did last year. Tom Brady's ended up the year top 10 in a lot of categories. Drew Brees, if you count in how much Taysom Hill plays, pretty much played half a season, but still kind of looks brittle. And a guy looks like a guy, you know, he's looking a whole lot closer to Ben Roethlisberger and Phillip Rivers than he is Tom Brady right now. So I kind of just go back to that. And then that coupled with the third time and clearly what Brady has kind of downloaded and figured out from the first two. And then just which team just seems to be ascending right now. Now, the Saints still have a lot of guys coming off of IR, coming off of COVID situations. That can take a few weeks till you really start feeling right. I do kind of lean to Tampa here.
What do you see with Kansas City and Cleveland? Because it feels like you've got the feel-good karma with the Browns, their first road playoff victory since the 60s, I think. And then Kansas City off a bye, that's a spooky proposition.
Yeah, I mean, Andy Reid off a bye, that is a thing. And that usually bodes very, very well for Big Red. I think this game could end up looking a little bit like the Colts-Bills game from last week, where because of the ability to run the ball, because of the ability to control the clock, and we'll have to see what the Browns' offensive line looks like, because they've obviously got a lot of situations going on there. But even their backups were getting it done against the Steelers. You know, Kansas City isn't exceptional against the run. Kansas City's defense is good, certainly not great. And Kansas City looked kind of blah the last 6 weeks of the season. Now, this is the playoffs, and I'm sure everybody would be ramped up, but might they be a little bit out of sorts? Might they be a little bit rusty? And might the Browns run themselves to a lead, kind of like the Bills and the Colts did to the Bills, and hang around that thing? I think it's feasible. I also think they just don't have enough on the back end, even getting Denzel Ward back. I don't like their secondary enough to think that they can beat Patrick Mahomes or score more points than Patrick Mahomes. At the end of the day, as that sample size expands through 60 minutes. But I do think there's a template for this to be an interesting football game into the fourth quarter.
Give us the latest on Philadelphia. Doug Peterson did the deed for the team to get that draft pick, and then what, 2 weeks later, see you later.
Yeah, I mean, look, there were obviously some philosophical differences there about the quarterback situation, about the best way to move forward, and primarily about his staff. And, you know, this happens when you have some success and then things turn. You have different sort of competing factions, and you've got generally the people who pay the price first are coaches through their assistants, you know, and they get a lot of heat from the owner or the personnel side that, hey, we like you, but this guy, that guy, and that guy got to go because we don't think they're up to snuff. And he was kind of done firing coaches, and he's like, look, my defensive coordinator is retiring, you know, you got that one. But I'm not blowing up my offensive staff. I think the quarterback was an issue. I think the quarterback wasn't ready to play this year. And I don't think any coaches really could have figured it out, because we certainly tried, and I believe in my coaches. And the owner's like, yeah, well, I owe him $100 million, and I'm going to have to eat $10 million to trade him. So I'm kind of looking for, you know, I'm looking – the answer to this question is fix Carson Wentz, not – you know, and get new guys in here to do it, not, hey, I'm really intrigued by what I did with Jalen Hurts, and I think we can build an offense around him. So they're interviewing candidates, and I suspect they talked to quite a few. Their history, you know, with that owner, Jeffrey Lurie, is that they found their Andy Reid, and since then they've continued to look at the offensive side of the ball. They like someone who's a quarterback guy. That's kind of their thing. You know, when they hired Doug Peterson, another guy they were looking at really closely at that time was Hugh Jackson. I mean, when you start talking about the finalists and the guys who history would tell you win the day with that ownership group, they're quarterback guys. So whether that's current coordinators, the Brian Dables, I'm not sure they're going to get an audience with Arthur Smith. I think the Falcons may offer Arthur Smith here quickly. Although, you know, he's meeting with the Jets, and he's supposed to meet with Detroit, and, you know, we'll see the Eagles as well. And then there's the college ranks, and I know there's some guys in college who that they think could do the job up here, but some of those guys may not be inclined to make the jump at this point.
Jay, we're getting down to it. Looking forward to watching some football this weekend and catching up on Monday. Enjoy all of it, all right?
You guys do the same. Thank you.